Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Wednesday, September 1st. We'll tell you how President Biden is defending his decisions after America's longest war came to an end. Also, months of political drama has ended with a new Texas voting law. And are attitudes shifting? What new data shows about Americans and vaccines? Plus, new features for emergencies may be coming to the iPhone. What's changing on your Facebook feed? And a hip hop song turning into a novel for teens. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Now that all American troops are out of Afghanistan after a two-decade war, President Biden is still adamantly defending the withdrawal. In an address to the nation, he called the evacuation effort an extraordinary success, even though more than 100 Americans and thousands of allies were left behind and the Taliban is now in control of the country there. Biden says after two decades of war, it was inevitable that the final departure would be difficult, with likely violence no matter when it was planned. He also blamed former President Trump for negotiating the withdrawal deal with the Taliban that he says boxed his administration in. Until last week, no American troops had died in Afghanistan since February of 2020, around the time Trump brokered that deal. But Biden said if he decided to break it and stay in Afghanistan longer, it would have escalated a war with the Taliban. And he didn't want to risk any more American lives. Not all Americans agree with his strategy, though. In a recent Pew Research Center poll, 42% of people surveyed said the Biden administration did a bad job handling the situation in Afghanistan, while only 27% said he did a good or excellent job. In Congress, panels of lawmakers are expected to hold public hearings to look into what went wrong. Already, Congress passed a bill to provide more money to help American citizens and their families who are coming back from war-torn countries like Afghanistan, and President Biden signed that. Meanwhile, the Taliban have to figure out how to run a country of nearly 40 million people, and because other countries still have not recognized the Taliban as a legitimate government, it's cut off from most of the world. Some Afghan officials have raised concerns about a shortage of cash, fuel, and humanitarian aid. And there are reports of the Taliban returning to their old ways. For example, women presenters have been banned from radio and TV. Dozens, if not hundreds, of former security officials have been executed. And many more former officials are in hiding now. Taliban leaders have said they'll be more moderate than they used to be, but are still promising strict Islamic rule. And so far, they have not been clear on exactly what either means to them. Official government talks are still in progress, so stay tuned. It's been 3 days now since Hurricane Ida made landfall in Louisiana, and people still have not been able to see the full extent of the damage. Louisiana's governor says officials are still in search and rescue mode, not recovery mode yet. First responders and volunteers are still looking for survivors across Louisiana and Mississippi, and they've been able to find more people who were trapped by the storm. Sadly, the death toll does keep rising. At least 5 deaths have been blamed on Ida so far. Most recently, 2 people were killed and another 10 were hurt when a highway collapsed because of torrential rain in southeastern Mississippi. And it's still dangerous out there, not just because of the flooding and wind damage, but also because more than 1 million homes and businesses are still without power in scorching late summer heat. In New Orleans today, it's expected to feel like 106 degrees outside. Hundreds of thousands of people also have no tap water and very little gasoline. It could take several days, if not weeks, for people to get those basic necessities back. So officials and volunteers have set up distribution centers where people can go to pick up food, water, and ice. In some places, people can step inside and take advantage of some air conditioning. If you want to help, we've posted some links that explain how you can donate or volunteer to survivors of Hurricane Ida. You'll find those by going to thenewsworthy.com, clicking on the episodes tab, and then selecting today's show. New controversial voting restrictions are about to become law in Texas following months of political drama. This is the same bill that led dozens of Texas lawmakers, all Democrats, to flee their state in the middle of a special legislative session. They went to Washington, D.C. to try to convince members of Congress to pass a federal law that could overrule any state law Republicans might pass. And as planned, since they were away, there were not enough lawmakers left in Texas to even hold a vote. Well, a few of those Democrats did return home recently, and that meant the state House and Senate could get back to business, and the bill passed. Now the Republican governor says he's excited to sign it into law. The bill does away with things like drive-through voting, late-night voting, and Sunday morning early voting. It also adds stricter ID requirements for absentee voting and a lot more. Republicans say the changes are necessary to make elections more secure in the state. Democrats say it'll discourage Texans from voting, especially young people, people of color, and those with disabilities. Either way, it's about to become law. There's been an uptick in the number of Americans getting their first doses of COVID-19 vaccines. As ABC News reports, in the last week, about 473,000 Americans a day were getting their first shots. That's a 17% increase from the week before. Separately, a new poll from Axios and Ipsos found vaccine hesitancy is now at a record low in the U.S. These days, only about 20% of Americans say they're not likely to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Still, there's a long way to go before everyone else actually gets their shots. As of this morning, just over half, or less than 53%, of the population has been fully vaccinated. Possible reasons for the shift in attitude? Perhaps some people feel more comfortable now that the shots have gone through the full FDA approval process and still got the thumbs up. Or maybe it's because more businesses, schools, and government organizations are requiring vaccinations now, or at least are heading back into the office or classroom in person. Some experts also say an uptick in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths may have convinced more people to get their shots. More news is just ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, Noom. In so many aspects of life, it's important to know the why, to ask why you want to do something, not just what you'll do to get there. Well, Noom wants you to focus on why you want to change your relationship with food and why you have certain health goals. From there, Noom uses a cognitive behavioral approach to empower you with the knowledge to build smarter, more sustainable habits and behaviors. Noom knows one size does not fit all and that everybody's journey is different. So you let them know your personal health goals and Noom customizes a program just for you. I appreciate that Noom says no food is completely off limits because it's about balance. And you know, I love balance in news and in nutrition. In fact, Noom has published more than 25 peer-reviewed scientific journal articles about the science that goes into their approach to helping people achieve a healthier way of life. They combine an evidence-based approach with empathy. So start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, you can sign up for your trial at Noom, spelled Noom.com/newsworthy. Apple's next iPhone will reportedly be able to connect to satellites in case of emergencies. This way, people will still be able to request help even in areas without cell service. Bloomberg reports Apple is working on two features. The first is an emergency texting system in the Messages app. People will apparently be able to send short messages to emergency responders or pre-programmed emergency contacts in this way. The second feature is said to be for reporting larger-scale crises, like a plane crash or a sinking ship. The phone will ask what kind of emergency is happening, and it should be able to take more specific information, like if anyone is hurt or if there are weapons involved. Bloomberg says the iPhone 13 will have the necessary hardware when it goes on sale, likely later this month. But the actual satellite connectivity isn't expected to be ready to launch until next year. You might start noticing fewer political posts on your Facebook newsfeed. The social media giant says it's been getting feedback from a lot of users who did not like how much political content they were seeing. So Facebook changed the algorithm. In the past, it emphasized posts it thought you wanted to see based on what you've shared and commented on, no matter what that stuff was about. And it showed you similar content more often. Well, now Facebook says when you share and comment on political posts, those actions will not carry quite as much weight in the algorithm as they used to. Instead, Facebook will ask people what they want to see with things like surveys. Expect the popular live streaming platform Twitch to be a little quieter than usual today. Many streamers have staged a one-day blackout. They're hoping to draw attention to so-called hate raids and show solidarity with streamers who face them. During these raids, some users will swarm streamers' chats with racist and hateful language. For example, one streamer who's Black and uses they-them pronouns says they've been a frequent target. Other streamers say they see hate raids with the N-word posted so much that other chats cannot even get through. Twitch has encouraged people to report those kinds of issues and says it's planning updates later this year to help streamers protect themselves. Just 10 years ago, quarterback Cam Newton was the number one NFL draft pick. 6 years ago, he was named the NFL's most valuable player. And now, he's been cut from the New England Patriots and is left without a job just weeks before the start of the season. Newton has only been on the Patriots for 1 year. He moved from the Carolina Panthers to replace Tom Brady in New England, but he ended last season with a losing record as the starter. Now, New England is giving the starting QB job to rookie Mac Jones. He won the college national championship last year at the University of Alabama, and Jones has apparently been impressive in training camp. As for Cam Newton, he appears to be taking the news in stride. He posted on Instagram that he appreciates the support, but told fans not to feel sorry for him. You probably know the hit song Girl on Fire by 15-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys. Well, soon it'll be a book for teens. Girl on Fire will be a young adult graphic novel inspired by the song. It tells the story of a 14-year-old girl who has telekinetic powers. Alicia Keys co-wrote this graphic novel and told the AP it's about a girl coming to realize the strength she's always had. Girl on Fire is set to publish in March of next year. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, a quick break for our sponsor, BetterHelp. Whether you're dealing with parenting for the first time, like I am, or you're feeling anxious, lonely, having trouble sleeping, or you're stressed about your job, or maybe you simply are just not as happy as you know you could be, then check out BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You'll never have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room because it's all through a safe and private online environment. It's even more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So BetterHelp makes professional counseling more accessible and convenient. And of course, it's always confidential. You can start communicating in less than 24 hours. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. A lot more Americans decided to retire last year than analysts usually expect for a single year. Data from the Schwartz Center for Economic Policy Analysis shows about 2 million more people than usually retired over the past year. Some people decided to retire early because they did not want to risk their health during a pandemic. Others said the pandemic made them start reassessing life and prioritizing other things besides work. But as the New York Times reports, many people may have also been somewhat forced out of their jobs before they were ready. Data shows about 1.7 million new retirees were not financially ready to stop working full time. But many older workers were let go as companies downsized or made budget cuts. That said, economists say retirement is not always permanent. Some of these new retirees may end up back in the workforce in the near future. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to follow or subscribe in your podcast app so you can always get new episodes. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.